okay, what is anxiety? What is it really? For me, I was terrified of showing up for myself and I was terrified of telling the truth. So I avoid it. And so that perpetuated this energy in my body that I started to call anxiety. The more that I started telling the truth, the more that I was in my integrity, the less I had anxiety because I wasn't avoiding anything. I wasn't suppressing anything.
If you're ready to say yes to your wealthiest and most abundant life, overflowing bank accounts, and a deep sense of inner fulfillment, well, then you are definitely in the right place. Welcome to the Girl Unfiltered podcast. I'm your host, Helena Grace Donald, and I'm a money mindset expert, success, and business coach. But really, all you need to know is that I am obsessed with helping women feel safe and in total flow around money. So let's do this. Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome back to the Girl Unfiltered podcast. How are you? How are you feeling? How are you doing? I'm really excited to spend the next hour or so with you on this podcast, sharing the mic with my beautiful friend, Shana Rom. I'm so excited for you to hear this conversation. It was just full of multiple aha moments and breakthroughs and revelations. And really what we lent into in this conversation was on a very deep soul level. We don't really get into the nitty gritty of what it takes to be an entrepreneur and the strategies that you need to apply to your business. We actually talk more about the soul strategies and the things that we've had to overcome within ourselves in order to step into the women that we are and how our businesses have become a manifestation of that inner work. So Jana is a transformational coach for ambitious leaders who are seeking self-mastery so that they can thrive not only in life, but also in business. And she's just a really beautiful soul who speaks straight from her heart. And I'm just going to let the conversation speak for itself. So let's dive straight into today's podcast episode. I am very excited to welcome somebody very, very special. And it is very much about time that I had her on the podcast. My beautiful friend, Shana Rom. And we met kind of I can't even say the word. Okay, so it is almost 6 p.m. here when we're recording this. We both live in California and I never normally work past this time. So you got to bear with me. This is going to be a different kind of interview. And this is going to make it sound like I've already been drinking. I haven't. But I brought a little glass of rosé to the conversation because I feel so excited to have a proper like little girl chat today with you. And I thought that it was perfect to bring a little glass of rosé.
I love it because you're just being you and enjoying life.
Yes.
We're going to go so many deep layers. I can already feel it. But just what you said right there, so powerful.
Yes. I feel like we need this in the world. And that is what the purpose of this podcast is. Like I really feel like whoever is listening to us about to have this conversation right now, I want them to feel like they're sitting down with some epic girlfriends to have a soul conversation. And that is why I brought the glass of wine in honor of that.
Full body buzzy chills from my toes up to my crown just got activated because that's what you're speaking into is relationship. Everything in life happens through us, through our relationships, and creating an intimate setting where we come and there's an outcome-oriented embodied conversation that flourishes each and every person that walks away from it because we've anchored ourselves into the consciousness that is us as a much more complex being. You are speaking my love language right now.
And we met via a great relationship because we were introduced by an incredible woman, Hillary Hartling, who has been on the podcast. And that is where all my soulful friends and conversations come from. It's meeting women through other epic women and divine intervention because we were meant to meet, but it happened in the way that the universe had planned for us. Don't you feel like that?
Oh my gosh. That whole week I was going through some really deep healing of self. And I talk a lot about shadow work when I go deep into the work with my clients around relationship healing, because it all starts with self. And I just remember something in me said I needed to go. And her and I connected through a very synchronistic series of events where I'd posted about one of the challenges that I was running in the beginning of this year. She reached out. I think I'd actually asked her about being on my podcast, which we have to follow up on that. Thanks for the reminder. And then she invited me. She happened to be hosting her women's circle that following Friday, which was 2 days later. It was about an hour or so drive from San Diego where I lived. And I said, you know what? Yeah, I think I need to go. I didn't know why. I just had to trust that inner knowing. And I remember getting there and there's just the energy and she's just such a light. And you were there and she'd been talking about you before I'd gotten there and how she'd been working with you. And it completely rocked her world and changed her mindset around money and the ability to receive. You had actually just sent her a sales page. One of my favorite mentors, she was the first one. She was my gateway drug. I'm going to call her that. And she's been someone that's walked this journey with me through digital courses from the beginning. And she had been promoting her money mentality course. And I was on the page. And so as you sent that, she looked at it, she saw my name and had read about it. And then I popped into her awareness.
Yeah. And we were already connected via me in some weird way. And I have to give a shout out to Jana, because it was on that day we were in a women's circle and I stood up and I said, you know, everyone shares what they would like help with. And I said, I'm really being called to launch a podcast. And then Jana like spoke up and shared all of her tips about her podcast. And she, I just remember you saying to me, don't like strive for perfectionism, just go for it, just put it out there. And I've never really ever looked back. This podcast is my baby and I absolutely love it. So thank you for that as well, because the listeners are probably thanking you as well because they listen to every episode and love it. So thank you.
Oh, and I love seeing the manifestation of that moment. And I always think back to what is relationship? We're always in relationship to everything in our lives, in everything in the world, as consciousness expressing itself through us. And so I've been that chick that is like, God, why does she always think that everything's meant to be? And like, why does it have to be so profound? Why does it have to be so deep? But when I look at things from an omnipresent higher self-awareness, I look back at that day, like, what are the chances that we met the way that we did with all of those different intertwined threads, I like to call them. And then you asked me a question and I had just launched my podcast that November and I'd really just figured it out. I just started recording. I had all these people that were on my podcast and I just launched it. And I literally 2 weeks prior built out an entire backend on it to be able to, if I ever wanted to walk somebody through how to start their podcast from all the techie things. And I really just felt like when you asked, I'm like, oh my God, this is an opportunity that I get to demystify it for her, because there are people that need to hear her gifts.
Yeah. So thank you. I love that. And normally I feel like people start a podcast episode with, okay, tell me about what you do. And I'm going to do something a little bit different right now because Spirit is telling me to ask you this. Instead, I want to ask, what sets your soul on fire, Jana?
What sets my soul on fire? Nothing brings me more joy than to see someone that at one moment felt disillusioned, confused, disconnected within a fragment of one sentence, or simply being in the presence of someone who has clarity, who can just be embodied in their truth, have an aha moment and the light get turned on and the clarity come through. It happens in an instant.
I feel you. That's beautiful.
To know that if I can be an access point for harmonious clarity and remembrance, that someone can remember something deep within them that they had forgotten, that all day.
Yeah. And that's your mission. And that is literally what you wake up and do and put out in the world and support other women in having those aha moments and those moments of clarity. But is this something that you always felt called to do? I do want to hear more about the journey of how this mission was born from you.
Yeah. When I was younger, I didn't understand passion. I didn't understand drive or ambition or any of those terms that we use now when we talk about who we are as leaders and entrepreneurs. But from the earliest memory I could ever have, I saw the world with different eyes than others did. I saw solutions where others saw problems. I saw clarity where others saw confusion. And all I ever wanted to do was to support others in seeing the truth and coming to a place of calm, which is available to all of us at any given moment. It's literally as simple as turning the dial. And if I had a dollar for every time I met a random stranger or had a friend come to me when they were truly seeking breakthrough, and I say truly because you have to be willing to have surrendered all of the drama to be able to say, I want help. I'm ready for the breakthrough. I was holding on for dear life before, but now I'm ready. And I know you're going to tell me like it is. You're going to tell it straight. And I'm going to have an awareness shift. I would probably be a millionaire by now. I mean, people at the grocery store, in elevator, I don't know why. I've never told anybody this. I feel like I can tell you this.
I totally get chills because I totally know what you're saying. And like, I experienced that, and I have a best friend who this happens to. And it is just like this light or this safety in your energy to be able to reveal that there's something within you that matches that frequency for people to feel safe unveiling themselves to you.
Safety is a big word. There's also a sense of it's a judgment-free zone. It's a non-attached witnessing where anyone could truly come to me in their darkest moment and share something that to them is unforgivable. And I could simply just see the truth of their essence. It's part of the experience.
Did that scare you in the beginning to have that within you? To have that level of awareness, or I'm guessing this inner awareness and inner spirit, that probably wasn't quite how everyone else was behaving or in the same way, didn't carry the same awareness as maybe you did.
So it was less fear and more rejection, more misunderstood. Because here's the thing, I didn't understand what the gift was. I didn't understand what was happening. I just thought everybody knew what I knew and thought what I thought and saw what I saw and wanted the same outcome. So you're a kid and you have intuitive things coming through and you say something to someone and they look at you like you just outed them in their most horrific fear. And I'm over here like, oh, everything's great. Like, what do you mean? Everything's awesome. And I didn't always get the best response. So I had to learn how to really honor. Not everybody wants to hear what you have to say. You have to ask for permission first. So there was some fear. When I think back, it was fear because a fear of being rejected, a fear of being looked at and called crazy, which happened to me quite a bit growing up. And a fear of if I shine this light too much, then what'll happen?
Oh, I had that one. Oof. I feel like a lot of people listening have experienced that too. And I think that's the thing that a lot of entrepreneurs who have to learn how to stand in their power in order to shine their lights and spread their mission, I think a lot of us have experienced that. A lot of us have to break through to the next level in order to reach what it is that we're reaching for is this fear. We have to bust through this fear of what will happen if I actually stand in my light, if I actually stand in my power. And so what was that journey like for you to walk to that next level?
There's been so many next levels.
I can imagine.
Oh my God. When I first started my business, I just, you know, it's interesting that you bring this up because as I think back to who I was when I first started my business and how terrified I was physiologically, I would have a visceral reaction when I was younger, speaking in front of people, being seen, being heard. and feeling like I was going to be misunderstood or that I was going to mess this up or who am I to do this, all of these things. And when I started my business, I had had an understanding of I am a channel for the message. I have the gifts. I have the wisdom. You can't mess this up. Just share your truth. That's all that you came here to do. What I did realize because of my awareness at that point was that I would hear the nonsense in my head, my ego telling me all of the horrible things that were going to happen or how I was screwing things up when I was sharing a teaching of a workshop, for example. And physiologically, my body, I would literally be shaking in cold sweats. And it's interesting because it was those really intense experiences of facing my fear and walking through it, you know, face your fear and do it anyway. You've heard it, I'm sure. That on the other side, the feedback each time I did one of those particular types of sessions was, holy cow, that was the most powerful one you've ever done. I got so much out of that. Meanwhile, in my head and what was being expressed to me based on the distortions that I was carrying was that I had failed horrendously.
Wow. Why do you feel that disconnect was so strong for you? For outwardly, people receive it as one of the best experiences and one of the most transformational experiences they could have gone through. But for you to think the complete opposite, that this was absolutely awful, what do you think was creating that disconnect for you? Because I know so many women will resonate with this.
Yeah. And, you know, I realized that when we stand in our truth, when we stand in our power and we become these beacons of light, we still have shadow inside of us. We still have dissonance and things that will activate a fear response, our fight or flight mode. And back then, I didn't really have the tools that I do now on self-regulation and embodiment practices. And I would just show up and do it anyway. And what I realized, because I hadn't done the integrative grounding or the breath and transmuted the fear, what would happen is I would go into these sessions and I would face my fear. I would be this channel. And a lot of the time I'd say, I have some notes, but 99% of the way that I work is through allowing the message to flow through me and really just being in that state of no mind. What I recognize is when you do that, you become a channel. You're activating higher levels of consciousness that are moving through your body. And what occurred to me was, as I did that, because I was now stepping up into this new level, I was embodying a new version of myself, the shadow aspects within me were starting to break up and have to be transmuted in my body. And so I felt them in a physiological way as fear, anxiety, and physical sensations. It feels like you're tingling. It feels like you can't breathe. And growing up, I thought that that was anxiety. That when I had my heart that was about to explode, that it was anxiety. What I realized going into this business was that was the beginning of me activating my heart center and speaking truth.
Whoa. Okay. Hang on a moment. We have got to lean deeper into that. I have never heard somebody explain it that way before, because we use the word anxiety all the time. And it's something I have majorly experienced and I still experience. But damn, girl, look at the way you just explained that the anxiety was actually your heart center activating. Please, can you lean more deeply into that and explain that?
Yes, yes. I just got full body chills again. Thank you.
This is profound to me. This is profound.
Yeah. So I'll give you some examples. And I used to have crippling anxiety. And I wouldn't speak up and I would just suppress. And I had developed an eating disorder for 10 years. You and I have that in common.
Yeah, we've both had that.
And what I remember is every time I would go and be ready to share some truth, some really tangible information that would be outcome oriented. Now, as I look back, I recognize that's what it was. I would feel this intensity of literally like somebody took a match and was surging energy into my heart that it was about to explode. And the closer that it got to my turn and my hand was raised or I was going to go say the hard thing to a friend, I'd literally feel like my heart was going to burst out of my chest. And in the past, I would suppress it and then I would avoid it and it would go away straight away. And I'd feel like I could breathe again. what I noticed is as I started my business and I just faced those fears, every time I dropped into that place, I would feel this almost like somebody expanding my heart, like as if somebody turned on my heart chakra, for example, for those of you that are listening that may have an understanding of that. And it just felt like a chemical reaction being set off in my heart. And when I would speak the truth, it almost felt like this energy would leave my body and the people would hear and they would feel an instant resonance. I mean, this happened in corporate when I remember one of the corporate leaders was speaking into some changes they were doing in the company and all these different locations. And I was working at a location that was a big box store. These were like the A-level locations. And there was like the smaller ones, the B and the C. And no other top level store had the old equipment that we had. I was in a health club. And I remember sitting there and I felt the truth. And I said, this doesn't make sense. What he's saying doesn't make sense. And nobody here has the guts to tell him because he's the boss. And I dropped into it and I said, I have to say something. And I raised my hand. And of course, my heart is beating, all of the stories. And I just so rationally explained, I said, you just said XYZ. However, that's not the truth in this case. Why is that? Do you have plans to rectify that?
Yes.
People that are paying the premium price for this A location actually get what they would be paying if they went to another A box store. And he just looked at me. We, in the 6 weeks, were upgraded after that point.
Yes, girl. Yes, we need like women speaking up in situations like that. That is awesome. Wow. And so what did you like? I want to keep leaning even more deeply into that idea of your heart center opening, because I think this is going to be a massive reframe for all of us that have just been programmed to label it anxiety. So what was that reframe for you?
I hadn't realized. So a lot of the times I'll have breakthroughs and shifts in my awareness, and then I'll meet somebody and they'll explain it to me in scientific or psychological terms. And so what I've come to understand what happened for me as I had this revelation is, you know, anxiety and excitement in the body are actually the same vibration. It's just what we associate one or the other and the meaning we give to it. So in a fearful situation, what would be excitement in a fun situation feels like anxiety. And for me, anxiety was, you know, the fear of what are they going to think or how are they going to perceive me? And what I realized is as I tuned into it, every single time I had this feeling, I started to recognize on the other side of me, feeling into it, harnessing this energy and expressing the truth, something really beautiful, miraculous would always come. So I'd be like, huh, the thing that I was most afraid of, the thing that I was eliciting this fear of the future and this anxiety, quote unquote, in my body was actually never anxiety. It was a deepening of truth that wanted to be expressed through me. And every time I expressed it, something really good would happen. So I was like, huh, maybe I should do this more often. And I just started to recognize that I wasn't so much anxious unless I was suppressing or avoiding something. That my anxiety, quote unquote, was energy seeking to express itself and leave the body. And it could only do so through me because that's what I am. I'm a vessel for the expression of truth. And every time I've done it, my heart expands even more, even more. I hope I can hold more space because what I'm doing is I'm building something called spiritual confidence. When you honor your heart and we stop associating with a blanket statement of, I have anxiety. Okay, what is anxiety? What is it really? For me, it was, I was terrified of showing up for myself and I was terrified of telling the truth. So I avoided. And so that perpetuated this energy in my body that I started to call anxiety. The more that I started telling the truth, the more that I was in my integrity, the less I had anxiety because I wasn't avoiding anything. I wasn't suppressing anything.
Wow. Yeah. It makes me even realize that I do label it anxiety. I say, you know, it's not something that I struggle with massively. I know there are a lot of people that really do, but there will be moments where my chest will constrict and I will really be feeling it in my body. And I don't necessarily have an awareness or an understanding of why it might be there. I just think of it maybe as stuck energy in my body or that I need to take time out or I need to go within on a deeper level. But now you're really helping me reframe that in instead of just labeling it as I have anxiety, it's actually what do I have? Because do you feel in some ways, now maybe I'm going to ruffle some feathers here, I don't know, but we've gotten so used to just using those words like anxiety or I have this or I have that and labeling it. But that in some ways, do you feel like the label has actually caused us to detach from the very thing that it might be? Like it's almost like a band-aid.
I absolutely resonate with that because it's like identifying the box just keeps you in the box.
Oh, yes.
The awareness doesn't create a breakthrough or shift. So, okay, so I am feeling anxious. Not I have anxiety. I am feeling anxious. What is wanting to express itself through me right now? What is it? You are not a victim to your anxiety. Something happened. If you retrace your steps, sometimes we pick up on other people's energy. Sometimes a boundary has been violated. Sometimes a fear is being triggered that has been dormant in our vessel. Okay, I have anxiety for a reason. None of it's on accident. And if I have anxiety, it's because it was there to begin with. And whatever is in my environment, thank you for the message. I have some work to do. Now we get to look at and express what's there. And I had this conversation 2 hours ago with my therapist. She's an amazing shaman. And she goes, so much of our society and everything that we've been taught is about compartmentalizing our emotions. It's not about processing them. And one of those things is, you know, little girls don't get angry, little boys don't cry. I recently came to the awareness that I haven't been giving myself permission to honor my anger as a woman.
Yes, 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 yes. Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Yeah. So I'm going to tell you everybody a story. And this is going to bring in spiritual concepts into scientific concepts as well. Because what she shared with me today was profound. The other day, I had just come back from a beautiful retreat, a deeply moving retreat where I felt closer to my understanding of God that I've ever felt before. And I'd come home and I'm in the city, it's San Diego, and it's loud and there's so many people, there's all this energy, I'm empathic, I'm feeling all this stuff. And I just felt I was really raw and wide open. And I'd taken myself out to lunch. I was feeling all this energy and I was kind of feeling like, oh, I wish I was back at the retreat and my heart hurts and just all the drama, which I needed to honor it. But I wasn't actually honoring the emotional experience that was underneath. I was just naming these things about why I was so miserable. And I felt very victim in that moment. Well, I'm just looking away for a moment and something whizzes past my face. So I look over to the side, to the right, and I don't see anything. And then someone, a homeless man who was obviously quite mentally not stable, walked past me and had thrown a piece of bread at me and hit me with it. And I sat there and I was so shocked that somebody would do that. And I remember looking up at him and I said, what is wrong with you? And he turned back towards me and he looked possessed. Like there was no way that that was just a human being. There was definitely some funky energy. And he laughed at me with the most sinister laugh I'd ever seen. And of course, I let it go because I'm not going to pursue this man. But I sat there and I let myself let the little girl inside of me that had been bullied and scared and traumatized by all of her feeling of being attacked growing up. I let her get scared and angry. I let the emotion bottle up because I felt violated. I felt like, why would you attack me in this way? This doesn't make any sense. I went to the washroom. I told the manager and I let myself process the emotion. And when I came back to the table, the beautiful, most beautiful thing happened. They took care of my meal. They were just so kind. And I got this blessing on the other side of this really unnerving experience. Well, I'm having the conversation with her today. And she said, did you let yourself get mad? And I sat there and I was like, I thought I did. I mean, a little bit, but when I'm calling myself out, I really didn't. And when we dug deeper into it, you know, she said, if my daughter had that happen to her, she would have gotten up. She would have screamed for the manager. She would have called the police. She would have said, no one will ever be treated the way that this man treated me. This is not okay. And I sat there and I said, huh, how many times have I used my spiritual tools to compartmentalize and not deal with my emotions, not process my emotions, not express them in the same way that I use my eating disorder and all of my numbing out before I was awakened. And what I realized is that there's a part of my emotional experience that I wasn't letting myself express in that moment. And that's why I felt disempowered. That's why I had anxiety.
And what would it have meant for the little girl inside of you or the woman waiting to like burst forth to get angry in that moment?
Power.
Yeah.
Boundaries. Not taking on responsibility for someone else's stuff. And I caught my internal dialogue going into the old concept of when I first had my awakening of, oh, the law of attraction, like you did that, you attracted that. And I was like, yeah, no. I mean, I know that there was a lesson in it. I know the bigger picture, but for me to go to the bigger picture without processing what was present, that's bypassing. And it would have meant the world. I would have felt really empowered, anchored in, and a deepening of my spiritual confidence. My self-worth would be intact.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think this is a big thing for a lot of women is that we are taught to stay within a certain boundary and to stay within a certain box. And anger is one of the emotions not to be displayed. I've definitely been on that journey myself. And I've got to say, like when I see or experience injustice, the world better fucking watch out because there is this like fire within me that switches on. And it's honestly, Shauna, it's kind of like the power within me comes out. And like, I don't need my husband in that moment. I don't need, like, I am, he might need to hold me back.
Get away because it's about to go down, that kind of energy.
Yeah. Like, I will speak up about that. And I think I honestly, that is one great thing I got from my mother is that my mother will speak up like a fucking lioness when injustice is being served. And I've got to say, I am so grateful that that was something I witnessed and is ingrained with me because I don't feel afraid to speak up for myself. But I had to learn that that was okay. And she had to push me to be able to do that. Like, I remember going to my headmaster at school when I thought injustice was being served and like literally holding my ground as a young girl being like, this was injustice and speaking to a male power authority about injustice. But that was a turning moment for me where I was taught, you get to do this. You have a right to do this. But I know and I'm fully aware that most women are not taught that that is okay. And I love that you just shared that story.
It's more than okay. It's a requirement. And as you were sharing, I remember the little girl that turned her fire off because I was the one, I couldn't even watch a commercial or see something on the street without going into activism. Which I know isn't integrated, but when something isn't just, we don't just glaze over it. We hold people accountable. But I remember being told I was too much. Why was I so passionate about it? What's wrong with you? And eventually I just was tired of being called wrong and wanted somebody to love me. So I started to fit in.
Okay, so let's talk about the breaking free from needing to fit in. Like, I have so many questions for you because I really want to also talk about how you took the energy and the awareness and the spiritual calling that you had and created a business for yourself. Because I really want to talk about that transition, if it was a transition for you, because I know that there is a belief that a lot of people have that spiritual people can't charge for their services, or at least if they are going to charge, it shouldn't be a lot of money. So I'm just wondering if that was a belief that you battled with in any way.
Yeah, it definitely was. I feel that each and every one of us that starts this journey of our businesses, especially when it has to do with spiritual principles, because there's such a stigma around it, you know, the starving artist and, you know, you're a healer, it's God's gift, you should give it away for free. And all of these belief systems, there was that fear. What I realized is how come I didn't have that fear when I was working for a CEO of a company and I really believed in their product and I could just go in, be of high service, share the value, and the person would just kind of close themselves, because it wasn't about me getting the sale or me being attached to my worthiness meaning anything if I didn't get the sale. It was really what would serve their greater good. And I had such devotion and conviction for any CEO I worked for that I wanted to be like that owner mindset. And so what I had to dig into when I first started is my money mindset, because I had had no problem making money for other people. But what I realized in the beginning is I had this whole fear around being able to charge for my work. I think we all have to go through that when we start our own businesses, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I have so many downloads happening.
Yeah. And I sat there and there was this revelation that came through one day. And my spirit said, why don't you do me a favor? Why don't you pull yourself up out of your human right now and you put yourself up here with me? And God is the CEO. Let's just try this on for a minute. God is that CEO that you've worked so hard for your whole life and all these other companies made them all this money. And yet you always felt like, you know, there was a glass ceiling or your soul was being sucked because it wasn't your soul mission. Okay. And I sat there, I was like, okay, from this place, who would you be if you walked in tomorrow and you were running the company for you? Like you're the CEO and you're working under you. And all of a sudden my brain would start working. I had all these ideas. I was like, I would say this, I would post this, I would go here, I would do this. Because there was no emotional attachment to the worthiness of me, the Jana, the human, to this business. And I sat there, I was like, oh my God, if I go into this place of non-emotional attachment and I recognize that I can emulate the same way of being that I was that made all these other companies successful, that I could do this within my business. And I go, wait a minute. I don't think there's any other CEO that wants to see you win more than the almighty I am that created you and gave you your gifts. I don't think that there's any energy source that's ever going to want to give you the pay raise, the elevation, the transformation, and the booming business the more that you honor those nudges. I was like, man, and here I am sabotaging the one biggest payoff that I could ever have. Whereas I used to sell my soul for these other people. That was a huge breakthrough for me.
That is massive. That is so epic. And you're speaking into something that I think so many female entrepreneurs, if not all of them, go through. I've gone through the same experience where it's like, hang on a moment. I can effortlessly and easily take money for other people, so to speak, meaning I'm promoting something else that's not attached to me as the face. And I have no problem helping people sell this or swiping this credit card or, you know, taking large lump sums of money. Like I remember for my friend, Nick Pigeon, who is an amazing business coach, and her friend, Natalie Ellis, who's the founder of Boss Babe, they decided to have an event in LA. A joint event. And I said to Nick, look, like, let me help you out. Let me help with whatever you need at the event. And so I went along and they asked me to basically take the payments at the end of the event for anyone that wanted to sign up for their big program. And this is kind of before I'd truly done the deep, deep sort of money mindset work that I now understand to be my truth. And I was taking these large sums of money from these women that were really ready to sign up to work with Nick and Natalie. And that was a huge light bulb moment because I couldn't yet conceive taking that kind of money for myself, but it was effortless and easy to promote Natalie and Nick. And I think that's something that a lot of women experience at the moment they become the face of their brand or the face of their business. This worthiness set point comes up. It's very, very different for them to then be charging for their services because they are the ones saying, I believe I am worthy of charging this, or I don't believe I am worthy of charging this. We don't know which one that would be. And so what did you do? What was the inner work for you to bust through that to own your divine right to charge for your spiritual services?
So it was a couple different pieces. There was a lot of journaling in the beginning stages of my awareness, really helping me to unpack and break through my belief systems, really being able to see, okay, what is the story I'm telling myself? What is actually true? you know, when you think of the belief of, am I worthy? The one thing that I loved most out of the Course in Miracles is getting me, the human, out of the way and realizing that what I'm doing, I was following my inner being. I wasn't creating a business because I wanted to be a coach. I was creating a coaching business because that is the only thing that felt like I was living a purpose. There are a lot of people that would rather gouge their eyes out than do what we do. They have told me that. They're like, oh my God, how do you have the patience? I could never. That's how I knew it was for me, because it lights me up. And so I just had to sit with it, and I would look at the stories and I would say, well, okay, I'm feeling that I'm unworthy around this. What is this really about? Is it ultimately true that I'm unworthy? Well, no, of course it's not. I do this for free in my sleep and have people have breakthroughs. And so what gets to be true for me? And I would go through, and I would, one fear at a time, I would go in and reframe it and tell the opposing truth until I felt the shift inside of me. I would riff into a positive direction, because it's easy to go spiral out into the fear. And like my anxiety used to do, I wouldn't take action. When I first started the business and I had my first two clients, I remember I had been journaling on, and I really loved manifestation because I was really good at that in corporate. I realized that when I had my big months and I closed all these people, it was because I was living in an embodiment of the law of manifestation. I was just being present, and I would wake up in the morning, I would meditate, I would set my intentions, I would use paraliminals, and then I'd have the most amazing rock out days. It was just magic. Well, when I had my business and I first started, I remember my very first client, the way she came into my awareness was because I was like, okay, Spirit, I'm ready. I had just like lost my job. Spirit had me let go from two jobs. Like, they had done some cuts, and Spirit was like, all right, are you done? We need to step into this mission. So I had to really go into my fear and say, I have no idea how I'm going to do this, and I'm ready. I need you to show me. I am terrified. What would you have me do? Like, guide me, lead me, teach me. And I remember going on Instagram and seeing this woman that I'd known from a previous job and just reaching out to her. She kind of had like a sad energy. We just started chatting. And by like 30 minutes into it, I was like, let me send you this free resource that I'd created. And I'd already started my business, but I hadn't taken on a full-time client yet. And before I could finish, she goes, is this what you do for a living? Could you coach me? I almost fell out of the chair, but Spirit was with me. And I knew that this was the one that I'd been journaling on, because I asked for my two first clients. I'm like, just show me that I'm not crazy, that this is what you want me to do, and I will do all of what needs to be done. And then I drafted up this email. I have never written a more amazing, powerful proposal email in my life. And I sent it to her. I had my PayPal. I had already, like, I was ready. I decided on my price. And I sent it to her. And then for the next 24 hours before the payment came through, I had to sit there and face my shadow. I had to journal on the fact, oh my God, she's never going to pay you. This is so stupid. Who are you to charge for this? I mean, all of it. And I literally, every time it would come, I would sit with it. I would look at it. I would tell myself, this is just craziness. And I would give attention to it and then tell the opposing truth that I know is available for me. And I did it until I felt myself feel the shift. And lo and behold, she paid. But what I recognize is I've tested it in times where I've just kind of been like, oh, I don't want to look at that. Or if I think of the bad thought, then I'll manifest the bad thing. What I realized is when I didn't sit there and journal out the fear or face it, however you process it, some people do breath work, whatever works for you. But when I didn't do that and I would just want to avoid feeling the discomfort, it would take longer for them to pay.
Absolutely. Because you're suppressing an emotion that is already there. And through the very act of suppressing it, you magnify it. And that is why the work that we do and the money mindset work that I do is scary as hell. But to me, it's so much scarier to carry that shit around for life. Like, to me, you bring it up to let it go. And how much worse would it feel to just never bring it up and just let that shit magnify? And that's what blocks us. And so I love that you actually in that moment faced it and worked through it, and that you had the tools to be able to shift that. And then what did that moment when she paid you, what did that moment teach you about yourself?
That was the moment that changed my life. It taught me that being willing to honor myself, to follow the nudges, to do the inner work meant that I could live the life that I was always meant to live, the life of a wealthy person. And what I call, when I say wealth consciousness, when I say wealth, the word wealth, I don't mean just money. A wealth of feeling protected, guided, connected, provided for, and really feeling the emanation of a universe that is infinitely and exponentially abundant.
Yes. I always say that. We don't need to wait to decide to feel wealthy. Money isn't going to give that to you. You get to decide to feel wealthy starting today, listening to this podcast right now, through your thoughts and through your actions, through your beliefs, through your energy, through the way that you decide to walk, talk, hold yourself, how you decide to treat yourself. And by treat yourself, I don't just mean buying material things. I mean really treating yourself on a human being level. You get to decide that today. So let's talk about wealth consciousness and how you, on maybe even a daily basis, how do you activate your inner world of wealth?
Well, we understand in science, there's this thing called the law of resonance. I'm sure you know all about that with the money mindset. Is you get what you're a match for. And how you become a match for wealth is by clearing the debris of what is not a match for it, the shadow aspects. You know, first thing in the morning is connecting inward and really being intentional about the day and asking that the leader of my life that day be that aspect of self that is already wealthy. How does she think? How does she walk? How does she talk? What is she doing? The woman that is me already living that wealthy life. And there's always another level that we're collapsing time into when we commune in this way. And then giving myself permission to look at, and what's present for you right now? What scares you right now? What are some things that we get to let go of today and that you get to break through, bust through in order to one day at a time, bring yourself one step closer to that next level that you're going? And then daily, I really love the concept of living in 15-minute increments, really keeping yourself in presence and every 15 minutes resetting. Because when we reset, what I found is you connect into that infinite part of you that will be guiding you towards that direction of your goal, of that desire that you've set out into the universe. And you really learn how to trust yourself and listen to the nudges, which then, guess what? You end up at the right place at the right time. You're in the energy of joy, of presence. You're not worried about the outcome. You're not worried about 10 years from now, about the money. You just know it's done and you're doing your part. And then it arrives over and over again.
Yeah. And the how is taken care of, which is something I talk about so much. The how is always taken care of. You have a pretty beautiful, I would say, money mindset story. And I know it's probably going to take too long to dive into all aspects of it, but I really love asking this question so that people can understand that none of us out there who are successful coaches and entrepreneurs and business owners woke up this way. There is a backstory. There's inner work that we did to step into the frequency of allowing ourselves to receive all that we receive now. And so I'd love you to share just a few aspects of the breakthroughs that you had in your money mindset story and how you released some of the programming that you had that could have continued to hold you back.
Well, there's a couple layers to this, and I won't go too deep into it because I know we don't have that much time, but the zingers are, I grew up in a household with two parents that immigrated from the Ukraine that came from a poverty mindset. Because everything was taken and seized from them by their government. Everything was rigged, not in their favor. They were traumatized. And that was the narrative in the household. Penny pinching, the government is out to get you. Money is the root of all evil. And something just never sat well with me with that from a young age. And I had to, when I went into corporate, one of my favorite things that I remember feeling free of their drama, or so I thought at that point, was that I was going to prove them wrong. And I started in corporate and I had to overcome selling because customer service and sales was my initial job. And I remember feeling fearful around money and not realizing that they were at the cause of it, these belief systems that I picked up when I was a little girl. And I remember it was, you know, a few years in, and I was hustling for my worth. And when I say hustling for my worth, it was toxic. 6-7 days a week, I was getting paid garbage per hour. And there was this like golden carrot that if you made your commissions, then you could make a decent wage. But it was just so toxic. And it wasn't until 2010 that I had a big shift and I finally was fed up. And I remember it was that week that I had spoken my truth about, man, I'm getting taken advantage of. Like no other operations manager is earning, I'm literally earning $20,000 less than the rest of them. I'm like, how are you guys okay doing this to someone? And it was that week that I got a $10,000 base raise. And then 2 weeks later, they transferred me to another location. I got another $10,000. I was like, whoa, speak your truth, girl, right? And that's when it started to unravel for me. And the next level of awareness was when I went into my business, because then I just leaked money. I was the worst. I would make so much money and then I'd look in my bank account and there was never anything left. So I had a fear of holding on to money because that means that somebody's going to steal it. It was just, or that I'm not responsible with it, which was the story that my parents gave me. So of course you want to get rid of it because you don't want to feel like you're not responsible. So why would you hold on to money? When I started my business and I had gotten to a point where I was making well over 6 figures in my corporate job and I'd been working and hustling, I had no side job and money was just flowing to me and I was in the groove. Man, did I have a rude awakening when I started my business because I felt like I had to start from scratch. All of my money mindset work that I had done, all of my manifestation work was great, but this deep shadow work that was required that I had to face when I started my business was on a whole nother level. And so what I had to do is I had to bring it back to that square one of like what worked when you finally broke free of those stories that your parents gave you that you can now re-implement earning for yourself. And it forced me to look at those aspects on a deeper level of shadow than I had ever done before.
I remember you sharing something with me on a deep level around money being taken from you, I think. I'd love you to share that. And I know we're running out of time, but I do really want you to share that because it's something that I see being a pattern in a lot of the women that I speak to and work with. So I'd just love you to kind of share a little bit about that.
Yeah, as I was speaking, I felt it come through. So thank you for confirming that. Well, one of the fears was that if I make money, that somebody's going to take it from me, right? That's a story. I mean, Oprah's talked about it. Celebrities say when they get money, all of a sudden, all of the people in your life that you haven't talked to in 10 years, you just show up and they're asking for things. And that is a wound of our society. Just because they have a need does not mean that it's your call to answer it. And that was a powerful thing for me to heal. There was a point where I had had an inheritance after my dad died. And I remember in that inheritance, there was a lot of money. My dad had withheld all the money in the household that my mom had earned. And I mean, to the point where I was never allowed to buy new clothes. I had to put extenders in my pants. It was just really traumatizing the level of poverty mindset that he had. And when he passed, my mom knew where he had stashed my inheritance. And he said that it was for me when I turned 18. Well, my dad's side of the family found it and took it and gave me $1,500 out of what probably was, I don't even know, but well over $20,000, $30,000, if not more. And I just remember feeling sick. And at that moment, I said, you know what? Good riddance, because what you took from me, God will replace tenfold. So I hope you choke on it. That's me owning my anger right now.
Yeah. And then how did you let go and release that fear or that story? Because that's some deep programming right there. And that will show up in our businesses.
That actually happened while I was doing a tapping exercise that I was watching. I think it was on YouTube and I was journaling out, and that memory actually came up and I realized I need to let myself get angry, recognize what happened, then forgive it. And then from there, declare over myself that nothing could ever be taken from us. That even if you quote unquote lose money in one area or something is quote unquote taken from you, because it feels that way, that what is yours can never miss you. And it will be provided in a different form or rectified in that situation. as long as you simply allow and be in a state of receptivity, it always comes. And that's what this year has showed me. I've successfully superseded six figures in my business, and it doesn't feel like it was hard this year.
Congratulations, girl. That is beautiful. And I deeply resonate with that, that it doesn't get to be hard. Like, it gets to come with ease. And I love that you look at that figure and you're like, yeah, it wasn't a struggle to make that. And why should it be? Why do we have to struggle?
No, we don't. I don't want to delude the people. It takes work. It takes the ability to look at yourself. It takes being willing to ask for what you deserve and want, being willing to surrender it, and being willing to be still to listen to your nudges and to take the action boldly. You can't, it's not the kind of surrender where you just sit there and like, oh, God's going to do it, or some infinite intelligence of the universe is just going to plop it into my lap. That happens sometimes. We get checks in the mail. I require you to do something on your end. We are co-creators.
Yeah, I love that you definitely said that, because I guess it's easy for people to take what I just said and think, oh, I can just take a step back and it will all come to me. What I'm trying to say is that the real work is very much rooted in the inner work and releasing what you call the shadows, what I call the limiting beliefs, the blocks and the fears that are preventing you from receiving with ease. Receiving with ease is what I mean. Yes, you have to take the bold action. Yes, Shauna and I show up consistently. Yes, Shauna and I have put in the deep foundational work to be where we are. Look, it's 7 p.m. We're on a podcast sharing our message. We could be watching TV right now or doing something completely switched off, but we're not, because we show up every day with what's on our heart. But what I mean is that we get to receive the value with ease and to feel deserving of it. And that took work for both of us to believe that to be our truth.
Yeah. And you just said something that is the magic medicine. By being in the inner world, wealth, cultivation through the inner work, we remove ourselves from the how.
Yeah.
I love that.
So I think it's probably time for us to wrap up. But before we do, I'd love you to share, is there one thing that you wish with your most powerful roaring voice you could shout from the mountaintops for all women to hear? And if so, what would that be?
You're not asking for too much.
Oh, chills. Yes. That's it. That's everything.
If anything, you're not asking for enough.
You're not asking for too much. That is the title of today's podcast episode, ladies and gentlemen. That is everything to me. You're not asking for too much. Okay, what do you take to mean by that?
That which you desire is what you get to have. If you compromise that, there's a story that you're feeding into that you could ever ask for too much. The thing that feels like it's too much for you is the exact thing that you get to ask for. And if someone doesn't want to give it to you and they leave your life, trust that someone far more magnificent is going to enter your life and give you more than you could have ever fathomed possible. So trust that desire for more.
I love that. That's a perfect way to end today's episode. Shauna, where can the listeners go and find out more about you or connect with you?
Yes, they can find me. I have my website at www.shaunarome.com. The same for my Instagram. It's Instagram/Shauna Rome and my Facebook/Shauna Rome. And I also have a free online Facebook community called the Divine Manifestation Maven Collective, where I show up every single week, give so much free value and content that they're welcome to join. I actually have a retreat coming up in November, which I have to talk to you about, actually.
Oh, okay.
That actually spoke and presented at the last retreat, and it was so profound, the level of breakthrough that came through. So the way you spell my name, for those that might be intrigued to go and look it up, it's spelled Z as in zebra, H as in Hannah, A as in apple, N as in Nancy, N as in Nancy A. And my last name is R as in Robert, O as in open, M as in Michael, M as in Michael.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. We will make sure that the links to your social media and that Facebook page are all connected below so people can go and chat with you. And, you know, if you feel really called, if one phrase or message or download happened for you during today's episode through our epic girl chat, then just screenshot this episode and tag both of us in it or DM us and just let us know what came up for you, because we both love connecting with you and supporting you through these breakthroughs. So thank you to you for joining us, Shauna, and thank you to our listeners for joining us with their energy wherever they're listening in the world.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This has been a pleasure. Thank you.
If you loved today's episode, please be sure to leave a review on iTunes and hit the subscribe button, because women supporting women is my jam. And if you want extra daily doses of motivation, then be sure to follow me on Instagram @girl_unfiltered. And go ahead and screenshot this episode, send me a DM, and share your biggest takeaway, because I love hearing from you and I just really want to drop into your DMs, basically. So I'm sending you so much love and abundance, and have an amazing day.